Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along. It's episode 110 of the Milk Bar, and Jason and Zoe are here with you this week.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very good. Had a lovely weekend. Thank you for asking.
I was going to get to that bit, but so where have you been? What have you been up to?
Well, I went to Amesbury with a couple of friends.
What's an Amesbury?
Amesbury, it's a place. It's by Stonehenge.
Oh, right. Now, I was actually there the previous week.
Oh, actually, really? We seem to be following each other around via airports
villages. Just stalking me again. That's what it is, I reckon. But there we are. Because I was actually doing my European tour last week.
Oh, okay.
I released the podcast into the wild from Germany via the magic of Wi-Fi.
And it worked well, I thought.
Well, yes, it was there. People downloaded it, so it must have done the job. But there we go. Right, coming up on this week's show, we'll be hearing from Richard Wall, comedian.
And as well, you know, like my psychic.
I do, yes.
So I've got Lorraine Ash on going through what she's up to and her up-and-coming events as well.
Music comes from Fly By Nature, recent winners of the Compton Battle of the Band in West Park.
Yes, and we had him here first, I do believe.
We did.
This is our signature tune.
Yes, interestingly though, of all the bands that were on in Compton in the Park, we'd had most of them in here. But there we go. That's only because we love good music. But there we are. But first of all, though, we go to the phones because I like good food as well. And a man who can tell us all about Mike's homemade is Mike Dentith. Hello, sir.
Hi.
Now, tell us a bit of the background, because Mike's homemade is a source in Shropshire for jams, curds, marmalades, all sorts of things.
Yeah, we're right on the Shropshire Staffordshire border. We make pickles, curds, marmalades, all that sort of stuff.
Now, this all sounds good to me, but how on earth did you find yourself churning out this sort of stuff in volume?
Well, I used to be a chef by trade, and eventually working in the kitchens and stuff, lots of people were saying you should jar your chutneys and your pickles and things and sell them. So after so many years in the hot kitchens, we sort of started talking to people about it, and we jarred some chutneys and bits and really went from there. It just sort of took off.
Was it something you were doing alongside the chefing to start off with and sort of snowballed into a business?
Yeah, we were running a catering business, and then we spoke to some of our shops that we were buying produce from, local producers, and bit by bit they took it on board. And we never intended to make marmalades; it was just chutneys in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And lots of people said you should make jams, so we made jams, then marmalades. Now we make curds.
See, it starts to sound difficult there, because a lot of people will make a chutney. Jams, I know my mum's always done jam, and I know people who make marmalade. And
it's quite easy to do that, jams and marmalade.
They're not that difficult, but you've got to get your ingredients right, and I'm sure that's where Mike comes into his own. But a curd, how on earth do you make a curd?
Our curds are made with egg and butter and citrus zest. We use pasteurised egg just to make sure that they're 100% safe. You melt them all together and on a real low heat, and then it eventually comes to a set. There's a skill to getting it to set and not overcook and burn.
I can't imagine it's easy, but then the mustards as well, because that again is very much down to a taste which you've got to get right, isn't it?
Yeah, it's we do five different mustards. We do one that's got honey in it, one that's a fiery mustard. We do one with horseradish. They're all unique flavours.
Have you ever thought about releasing like a recipe book or something like that? Because I like to have a bit of a dabble with cooking, and I would like to do things like that, like my own mustards and jams.
Yeah, but
that'd
be giving the secrets away, wouldn't it?
I was going to say.
Well, maybe you could, if you're looking for any extra employees, you've got a willing set of hands here by the sounds of it. So how many items are there in the whole range then now?
We do about 56 different products, but for Christmas we've got another 8 products that we're doing. We do them in a catering size jar as well, so I've got some restaurants that use them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also do a smaller jar. We do wedding favours as well.
But where do you get all your ingredients from? Because I take it, being on the Shropshire Staffordshire border, you're well placed for a lot of good local farms.
Yeah, in the beginning we were sourcing it from the growers direct, but as we've got busier and busier, we use a local veg wholesaler, and he deals with all the farms direct.
So you're, I presume that's the most important bit, is it, to get try and get the ingredients as fresh as possible?
That's, yeah, people don't realise how tricky it is, because like runner beans, for instance, they're only in season at certain times. Mm. So if you want to have like runner bean chutney all year, you've got to make it when you can get the runner beans.
I've never heard of that before. Have you, runner bean chutney?
I haven't. I'm not, but I am not somebody who's into his chutneys. I'm more on the jam side of things.
No, I do like chutneys as well as jams.
Mm-hmm.
Anything edible, I think.
Where are your products available? Because you must be supplying shops as well as selling online.
Yeah, they're in about 100 different shops all over the UK. Places like Greenfields, Farm Shop over in Telford, over at Trenton, Brown and Green. There's a big list on our website.
And do you have your own store as well?
No, we just have an e-commerce site where you can buy online.
Oh, but you do samplings and things as well, where you know, if you're looking at attracting new business in?
Yeah, what we do is we go into shops and we do tasters. I've got my auntie and uncle that work for us, so they'll go and stand in a store putting out tasters for people to try. Okay. They also travel all over the country doing food shows and things like that.
If you can give me a list of where they're going to be, that'd be quite handy. I'd like that.
We'll go and have a taste.
Pop down and taste, and then maybe you're pretty much going to be drawn in to buy as well, aren't you, by the sounds of things?
Yeah, if people try it, they will buy it, because it's a good product, and at least that way you can try before you buy.
And you get so many things which are supermarket owned brands, are the finest in the range as well, and often you're more interested in not necessarily what's on the label, but what's actually inside. So it's a case of trying to get that message across quickly, I suppose, with packaging.
Yeah, with all of our products, it's all natural. There's no setting agents in there. There's no flavourings or colourings. So it's all made from just natural ingredients. Mm.
I think that's most important to a lot of people nowadays, particularly with more and more people having allergies to all that sort of thing. I think people like to know what they're buying, don't they?
Because some jams you buy, they're just all set, so it's just liquid.
Yeah.
Whereas with ours, all that's in most of my jams is just fruit and sugar.
And is it more expensive? I mean, obviously, if it's a nice product, you don't mind paying a bit more, and it's not going to be like your budget brands, but how expensive are they?
Our recommended retail price is £2.65.
Mm.
So they're not the cheapest on the market, but they're not the most expensive.
No.
We'd like to try and think of our product. We've priced it to be an everyday product, so people can afford to have our orange and whiskey marmalade every day of the week if they want.
Mm.
As long as they're not driving immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
Also, it sounds absolutely brilliant. So give us the full website if people do want to not only find out where they can buy, but also possibly purchase directly from you.
Yeah, it's www.mikeshomemade.co.uk.
And we've actually had to drag you away from the kitchen, haven't we, to have this quick conversation?
Yeah, I'm still working now.
So what are you cooking at the moment?
We're doing pickled shallots at the moment.
Okay.
Ooh, they sound nice.
It's shallot season.
Yeah, the get ready for Christmas.
and what jams have you had going on in this week or two? I suppose strawberries are currently in the peak of their season too.
Yeah, strawberries and raspberries. And then we do a raspberry and pineapple jam. What else have we been doing? Blueberry and apple. But soon I've been informed. Thankfully we'll have damsons around again, so we'll be making damson jam.
I suppose that's the best of it, pickling and things like that, because...
Testing it is the best bit, I think.
Well, no, because although it only comes at certain times of the year, as long as you get enough of it, you can have enough to keep yourself going for 12 months, can't you? Because it's not going to go off because it's all pickled.
That's the thing with damsons. I got caught out. We've run out of damson. I think we've had a gap of maybe 2 weeks where we had no damson products.
Mm.
So I'm really glad they're coming back in.
Well, as long as you don't eat all the profits, it'll be a good job. Well done. Mike, give us the web address one more time.
It's www.mikeshomemade.co.uk.
Mr. Dente, thank you for joining us.
Lovely.
I will try and try out some of your products very soon.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks, then. Ciao for now. Right, let's take our first track from the featured band. They are Fly By Nature. They've got a brand new EP out at the moment, and this is a title track, Fresh With Melody.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I had this idea once.
Let's keep it fresh with melody. And when I learn something like this from the sea to the A to the E. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Fly by Nature, and the winners, as we mentioned, of the Compton Battle of the Bands. And joining us on the phone is vocalist Jamie Russon. Hello, sir.
Hello, Jason. You all right?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad.
First of all, congratulations on the win. I didn't really have a chance to tell you that on the day because it was a bit manic, wasn't it?
Yeah, everyone just sort of disappeared, didn't they?
it was a bit mad.
Seconds almost.
But you have the trophy on display somewhere at home, I trust.
I think Matt's got it at the minute. It's going to be passed around, like, you know.
You get a few months each before. I assume there's one to keep, isn't there? But you might have to give something back too. You never know with these competitions. So, what's been going on since the last time we got all of you guys in the Milk Bar, which would be probably about 12 months ago? You were last down.
Quite a lot, to be honest with you. We had that signing with Mass, obviously, and then through that we had a few decent gigs and met our manager at the Mono Bar in Birmingham. We sort of played a tiny set, and then he had a list to us, thought he liked us, and then went from there, really. He's sort of done a lot for us over the past 12 months.
And is that what brought the EP that you've got now together? Is it through having the management and that side of things, or has that come out of the Mass work?
Exactly, yeah. Well, it was kind of all over the place, really, to begin with. We were just sort of recording whatever we had written. And obviously we're paying for it ourselves, and you know, I mean, it's a lot of money to record, isn't it?
So, it's not cheap.
Exactly. So it was quite tricky, but then they sorted us out and paid for our recording, and like got us a music video down. Just things keep getting better, really. We've got a few dates in London coming up soon, so
Because the video that you've done is for the track Fresh With Melody, which we've just heard. So where did you shoot that?
Where we recorded a Musoplex in Albury.
So it's actually a film of the studio recordings?
Well, we were looking for locations, and we couldn't find anywhere that was, you know, fairly decent price-wise. Like, so, sorry, the owner of Musoplex kind of said, well, we've got a stage if you want to use that. Because he was after a white background, just because, you know, he's going to have a mess around with different props and stuff like that anyway. So he just says, if you want to come down and film it here, for nothing, and you're more than welcome to, like. So Mark jumped at the chance, obviously, because it's going to cost him less. you know what I mean? So, yeah, we just went down there, filmed it. It was a good laugh.
Mm-hmm. Well, we mentioned the Compton win. That means you now get to have a single released by Revolver Records, and you're recording at Bullet Studios in Wolverhampton. Have you decided which track you're going to do down there yet?
Well, I'm currently working on some new material. I've tried to take a different approach this time around, rather than sort of writing from the heart how I used to write. I've sort of tried to write as if, like, you were to, you know, be purposely writing a catchy number one hit song kind of a thing. So,
I've
just been messing around. Yeah, basically, yeah. Mm. Just so we can sort of not... I don't want to totally take away the heart of the band. I'm just trying... I mean, obviously, you've still got all the different influences and you've got your sound still there, but more sort of majory, catchy melodies more so than the minor stuff that we've doing before.
Yeah, I suppose what you want to do is catch a whole large audience attention.
That's it, because once you've broke through to a majority, then you've got more chance to do what you want to do afterwards anyway. But it's still, sort of keeping the soul there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got these new tracks that I've been working on, and there's one song on there, and I can't wait to put it with the band, to be honest with you, because it's sounding really good. Like the melody and everything, it's just... the key is just major, more major sounding songs, with, you know, a super hook on the chorus. Like. So, but, yeah, like I say, but, yeah, I mean, we're just sort of in the draft process at the minute. The one song's called, I've done a demo of that on my own, written and recorded that on my own. And then there's two that I've got choruses down, but no verses yet. But, as you know, like, I don't know if you do now, but verse is fairly easy to write once you've got a chorus there anyway.
Yeah, you've got the idea working through and you know where you're aiming for. It's a bit simpler that way, yeah?
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. So hopefully, Mike's in Hong Kong at the minute, but when he comes back, we'll get in the rehearsal rooms, put them tracks down with the band, and then hopefully after a few weeks of that, we should be able to get in the studio.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really looking forward to these new songs, because I think if you're going to be only songs to get us anywhere, it's probably going to be them.
Well, good luck with all of that. We'll look forward to hearing the rest of the tracks from the current EP as we work our way through the show today. But tell us where you can actually get the EP from and where you can see the video.
So you can find the EP on Spotify, and you can purchase it on iTunes. And the music video you can find on Facebook, which is facebook.com/flybynaturemusic.
So Fly By Nature Music is the what you want to look for in Facebook, Fly By Nature on iTunes, and of course track them down on Spotify as well if you want to take a listen that way. Well, Jamie, thank you for joining us. It's lovely to speak to you as ever, and we look forward to getting you guys back into our studio to play a couple of tunes live for us in the very near future as well.
Great stuff. Cheers, Jason.
Okay, catch you soon. Ta-ra for now.
Bye.
See you, mate. Bye.
Right, let's take our second tune. This one is called Money. Little is who. Fly by nature, and money definitely does make the world go round, I know, because so it charges for everything, don't you?
I charge for everything.
Yeah, you got your stationery store, you got your computer, everything.
Yeah, well, that side of it, yes. Yeah.
And
can't make you happy though, Jason.
But you do charge for autographs as well, don't you?
That would be nice if somebody even asked for free.
Okay.
To be fair.
Oh, right. So you're a celebrity, really. I know it. But there we go. Right, we go now to on the phone. Someone who is internationally renowned as a psychic medium. We have Lorraine Ash joining us. Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Now, based in Wolverhampton.
Yep.
And working with people from around the city. Tell us a bit about the sort of people who are coming to you for guidance and to see displays of mediumship.
Absolutely normal people. There are lost people, they're loved.
I should think that we talked about money making the world go round, but I should think when people are in a difficult position financially, it is probably less likely they're going to be able to spend the time coming to someone like you. Or does it make it more likely they're going to come and try and get solace from ones who've passed?
I don't know the answer to that. Mm-hmm. I do know that I know the difference between need and want and do that many free readings. That's why I'm so skint like you.
we're all broke. But I mean, what sort of areas are you working in? Because I do know you have two events coming up in the very near future, don't you?
Yeah, I do 2-3 shows every week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all over the place, Dudley, Carrick, Wolverhampton, all over.
What sort of format do your shows take? I mean, say, for example, if somebody wants to come but hasn't been before and perhaps they might be a bit worried about how it's going to come about. If you've got, like, a group full of people, you know, where does the show go?
I'm on a microphone and I don't do a stage. I hate the stage. I walk around the room and wherever spirit is stood, that's where I pass a message.
Hmm. So you won't choose the person then, the spirit will choose you to show you the person?
Yeah, I don't choose, they choose.
Do you ever have some nights where, you know, there doesn't seem to be much of a response and no feeling to go to the crowd with?
No, never.
there's plenty of people queuing up to talk to them.
Oh, if there's 50 people in a room, I've got 300.
Mm-hmm. And how do you see the spirits talking to you? How does it come across to you? Is it like a voice, a feeling, an emotion?
Different ways. It's all according on the room and the people in the room. I actually see spirit with my eyes and hear them with my ears. But
so would you get like a physical picture of, and you'd be able to describe what they look like to somebody?
Oh yeah, I always describe people. Yeah.
And do you sometimes get people trying to get a message, even if it's not necessarily for them?
Oh yeah, they call them relish thieves. Relish thieves. But I always know exactly where I'm working. Mm-hmm. I know who I'm with.
And do you actually see something around the audience as well? So if you've got, say, a spirit coming to you, are they guiding you to who they want you to go to as well?
Yeah, no, they don't actually come to me. They're stood with the people that they're for.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So say if you stood right at the front and you've got, like, a woman sitting at the back of right at the back of the room, they'll be like, whoever wants to contact her will be stood next to her.
Or behind her.
And how do you actually cope with the amount of contact you must be getting there then? Because it must be quite noisy, as it were.
It's just focus. You just learn how to focus with it all, so you have to make everybody else wait.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And is it like that all the time? I mean, or can you say to the spirits, you know, you're not doing it now?
Oh, when I'm not working, it does happen, yeah. I can be sat at home and somebody wander in and I'm just, no, I'm sorry, I'm not working. Give me a break.
And they just go...
Not always, but most of the time.
So, where are you actually working in the very near future then? Because you say you've got say 2-3 events a week, but what are your next forthcoming events?
My next week, I am at New Invention Victory Club on Wednesday, and on Monday, do you know, I've forgotten. That's hopeless, isn't it?
We can tell you if you like.
Yeah, Zoe's actually on the list. Go on, Zoe.
I've got a list. It's the Clare Gate on Monday.
Yeah, I can
on Monday. But I suppose for you, it's a case of you wherever you're pretty much led to is where you go to. And I'm hoping your son, who also does some work, is the one driving you around to this sort of event.
No, my partner drives me around, but I have a PA that books my work, so I never know where I am.
And that's the trouble, I suppose, till the night, and they ring you up and remind you you're supposed to be somewhere.
That's the one.
No, I mentioned your son, because he's actually got his own company as well, hasn't he?
He's Paranormal Investigations.
And how does that tie in? Do you actually sometimes go along to some of his events?
I started Spooks Nights a good 7-8 years ago. I started it just to be able to prove to a lot of sceptics out there that it was very real. And over the years I did that. But I got so busy with my own work and overseas work, I hadn't got time to run it anymore. So I actually gave the business to Dan about 3 years ago.
Mm. And it's gone from strength to strength. And there is a lot of interest in that sort of thing, isn't
there? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you say you're convincing sceptics, but I have to admit that I'm on that list. But do you find that people want to find out even if they don't believe or they say they don't believe?
No, I think a true sceptic, no matter how much evidence you give them, will never be a believer. But I think a true believer will never need any evidence.
I'm
the opposite, you see. I do believe in all that sort of thing.
Yeah. But sceptics very often come to the... we had two last night, came and you pick sceptics out because it's just their aura's different. And both got messages last night. And I am a very evidential medium. They have to give me things that only they and the person past would know. Mm.
Did you change their opinions at all?
Oh, yeah, last night they both come and said, God, I didn't believe till tonight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
See, I've had certain things over the years happen to myself and I don't need any proof at all. Mm. I mean, the night my nan passed away, she came to me in a dream and I woke up crying and I knew instantly that she'd died.
Yeah.
And it was just, it wasn't that I could actually see her in my dream. It was her, more like a feeling and the love. And she just came to say goodbye and I don't need any further proof than that.
Silly.
Have you got a message for me from her?
not right now. You'll have to come and see me.
Hey, well, that's it. I'll have to pop into the Clare Gate on Monday.
Yes, even if you haven't got the dates, Zoe has, so she can now turn up.
Yeah, she can. See, but you can as well, see, and then I could change your mind.
Well, that's it. Do you think watching it? I mean, have you been to any live events?
I've actually worked with Phil Solomon on some, and he knows that I'm a skeptic as well, and we enjoy playing each other off on that sort of thing. I've got a background in science, but my mind's not completely closed. I probably do fall into your list of people who probably aren't really skeptics, but do want the proof. Because I have a scientific mind. You see, that's where I come
trouble.
From. It's not my trouble. It's just the way it is. But there are. I wouldn't. How I see it, whether it's a spirit of somebody living on or whether it's some other kind of energy. I would not. Jump to first. Not it's a spirit because would be a case of explain to me what's happening.
They're on paranormal events. That's why I don't go that often anymore because I will be the first to say no. That isn't spirit. It's the boiler or it's a tap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I drive everybody bar me. But I know when it's spirit and it's not. And I never let anybody fit a message to where they want it to fit. I will actually say, no, you're wrong. That isn't who I'm talking about.
And you must be seeing many hundreds of people every week at the events that you're working on. And what sort of stories have touched you the most over the time you've been doing this?
Oh, it's always the children, isn't it? When people have lost their children.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's difficult, and I suppose they really need to be reunited and given some sort of peace as well.
Yeah, and that's such a common knowledge, and I will say this, even though I know it's going live on podcast, anybody that's lost children, I never charge them either.
It's very difficult for them.
Help, not people to take the money.
Mm-hmm. It must be really difficult for you when you're in that sort of circumstance.
Yes, it is, because I lost my own daughter many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But I think that's why it's actually happening that they all come here.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is something which has happened in your family because your nan actually was a spiritualist medium as well.
Yeah, my nan and both of her sisters were.
But your parents weren't really acknowledging of this sort of stuff?
No, my dad, it was my dad's mother. He always has been, but my mum's terrified of it, so it was never discussed, never talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think my nan was a bit of an old witch?
Not just as a mother-in-law, then.
Oh, no, I think I'm great as a mother-in-law as long as I never told her anything.
And it must be quite strange, because sometimes do you approach someone and go, I need to give you a message, or would you always wait for them to ask you once they found out what you do?
I always wait for them to ask me. There's only once on one occasion in all the years I've been working that I gave somebody a message in a supermarket.
Okay. But it was there with them and they'd forgotten the shopping list.
It was Christmas Eve and there was an old lady stood in front of me in the queue in Tesco's of all shops, and I could feel her hurt, and there was a lady stood with her, and she was pleading with me to tell her it was a mum and she'd recently passed, and it was her daughter that had passed. It was the old lady, it was her mum. And she was pleading with me to let her mum know that it was okay and she had to put the Christmas tree up. And I was thinking, oh, no, I can't. And in the end, I did walk off when she walked away from the till. And I just said, sweetheart, can I speak to you? And she said, oh, is everything all right? And I said, well, I don't really know. I said, do you believe in afterlife? And she said, oh, I'm a big believer. So I gave her the message from her daughter and her daughter's name. And she just hugged and hugged me, and I didn't think she was ever going to let me go. And she said she was going home to put her Christmas tree up.
Mm-hmm. That's a nice story. And obviously, if you can bring some sort of relief to people who are in a difficult and painful situation, it must be a nice world to be working in.
I love my job.
Have you got a web address where we can find out the rest of your events? Hopefully your PA has put together for you.
It's www.breathingrainbows.co.uk.
So breathingrainbows.co.uk, Lorraine Ash on there. Thank you for joining. It's good to talk to you. And say continued success and enjoy your events that you've got coming up over the next few weeks.
Thank you very much, and the same to you both.
Thanks, Enter. Thank off you. For now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Right, let's take our third and final tune from Fly By Nature. This one, Emotional Violence.
Yeah.
Emotional Violence, the sound of Fly By Nature, and thanks to them for supplying their music. Before we go any further, Zoe, I've got some plugs to do, okay?
Okay.
This coming Saturday is Black Can, who were on the other week.
Yep.
They're playing an event at the Walkabout in aid of Mind Charity, so get to Black Can, B-L-A-K-C-A-N. Search for them on Facebook and get some tickets for that one. And also, someone we spoke to a while ago who's doing an Elton John tribute. It's on the 12th of August. Make sure you buy your tickets for that one. And that I don't know where to get tickets from for that. But Claire Diamond, who's one of your former stand-ins whilst you were off being ill, she's doing the part of the support. Although one of my friends was quite surprised, she received some flyers in the post which said she could come and see me at a gig as I'm comparing the night. But there we are. So that was quite an odd one. So Jan Brookfield is the one to look out for on Facebook, and I will tweet or post something somewhere to tell you how to get tickets, because I'm not planned and organised. I normally have a PA to do this sort of thing.
No, you don't have a PA at all.
No, we've got Jan, our producer, who looks after us. There
we are. Doing our bit at the end, are we?
What?
Our nomination.
We'll mention that after the check. We'll mention that. We'll build up to that.
Exciting.
Meanwhile, though, we have hanging on the telephone a gentleman who is actually, I think, in Salford at the moment, although he hails from Wolverhampton. Richard Wall, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. So, last time I saw you, you were on stage in your underpants.
And
really?
We can get him in live, Jason. A man in his underpants.
Really? Yes, you would.
I normally do my comedy sober these days. I'm really sorry.
This was part of an event for Goldthorne Theatre. You were in one of their productions a while ago.
Right, that's absolutely right. It was what was it called now?
I can't remember. I just had this scarred mentally
by
you getting changed on stage.
I'm glad I left an impression. I brought brand new boxes for that show, just especially.
Just the one pair or a clean one every night?
I know, the same one every night. You know, the first I went really well.
Every night.
Well, I thought the first show I did quite well, so they just became lucky after that. You know.
And do you still carry these with you in your world of comedy that you're working on now?
Unfortunately. To be honest, I tend to hope to make people laugh in other ways, not just to make it.
So tell us how on earth you ended up working in the world of comedy. So how old are you now, sir?
I'm 26.
So you're getting on a bit to be starting out on something. You've been doing this about 4 years, so you left uni and then went off to do this sort of stuff?
Yeah, it didn't really occur to me when I was younger. As you know, I did a lot of acting, and and then I went to university, realised that stand-up comedy existed outside of Billy Connolly and Jasper Carrot, who were the people on the TV at the time. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to them, I mean, they're brilliant. But, I went to the Edinburgh Festival when I was about 18, and it opened my eyes, and I suddenly realised it was this whole other world of stand-up comedy that I hadn't really accessed. So I was bitten by the bug. And then when I was at uni, I used to go to comedy nights, get drunk, and then afterwards try to perform to my friends on the way home. Which sufficiently annoyed them enough so that after about 3 years, they entered me into a comedy competition and said, look, either you're going to do it or shut up. And I haven't turned back since, I suppose.
Well, you've got 200 gigs under your belt now, but which was the hardest, the comedy gigs or being an English teacher for a while?
I think once you've handled a group of year 11s in Birmingham, I think you can handle any audience. The English teaching was a fantastic job to do for a year. But, credit to any teacher who can stick out for longer than I did. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world. Mm. And I think people sort of think comedians are actually quite brave, but there's plenty of other jobs out there that you have to work a lot harder for. So
I could imagine that it would make it slightly easier if your English teacher was making funny jokes throughout the lessons as well. I think they'd probably pay more attention.
Well, yeah, the thing is, I used to think that I was the funny one, and then the kids would sort of tell me blatantly that I wasn't, that I was very unfunny, and that they were the funny ones, and they had to prove it through their behaviour. So I had one lesson where I was trying to be a very cool, young, hip teacher and trying to get the kids into poetry. So I played some MC Hammer in the classroom and got them to dissect the lyrics, which I thought was really clever. And then one of the kids, who was like a little year seven called Callum, who is lovely, he's one of those kids who's kind of like tiny but has an enormous backpack. And he came up to the front of the class as the music was playing and said, Mr. Wall, I said, yes, Callum. He said, would you mind if I did the worm across the front of the classroom? And as in the dance move. And he did it, and he got a standing ovation. And I was really jealous because he got more applause than I tend to. So.
But you created that applause, though. If it hadn't been for your MC Hammer collection, which is obviously your favourite music, it wouldn't have come about.
Well, yeah, clearly. I mean, he's up and coming kids, though. He's a comedy genius of his own. So.
But he'll be there, yeah, trying to take your limelight away. He might support you in years to come. You never know.
So, I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So you actually got you're up in Manchester. Why and how?
Well,
is it the day job up there? Is there something else you're doing that you're not telling us about?
Yeah, I have the day job up there, which sort of supports the comedy, and the comedy supports the day job. So I work for a charity called Young Advisors. So we're a young people's charity that helps young people to have voice in their local communities and make sure that they are central to decision making in their area, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. But I moved up there because I was living and working in Wolverhampton. My girlfriend at the time was living and working in Crewe, and it wasn't particularly sort of suiting either of us. And then we sort of thought, well, let's move away together somewhere and start something new. So,
and you thought of Manchester?
Yeah, there's a lot of opportunities. And outside of London, for a comedian, it really is probably the best circuit in Britain that you could go on. You know, it's fabulous. And there's a gig on every night of the week, and to be honest, you know, Britain has a better stand-up culture than anywhere else in the world, so I'm probably in the second best place in the world to do stand-up comedy. So that's not a bad place to base myself.
No, and but you actually have a twice monthly comedy gig that you're actually part of and do the comparing for, and you're one of the co-runners, aren't you?
Absolutely. Now,
give us the name, because this is good. It's based in Stockport.
Yeah, it's called A Laugh in Stockport.
Zoe, you're the test market. Do you get that? A Laugh in Stockport?
Well.
No, a laugh. Do you understand? A laugh.
Obviously,
in,
not the way it's supposed to be.
A laughing stock.
Yes, okay.
No,
I'll be honest, I've been involved in the gig for about 3 months, and then I suddenly realised why it was called that. It was a sort of pre-existing gig that I've latched onto since I moved up there. And in fact, after this conversation, I'm going to go there and compare tonight. And it's at the Magnet Pub on the first Thursday of every month. If you're ever in Stockport, then get in touch on Facebook or laughinstockport.co.uk, and we can. And then there's another one in the middle of the month, which is at the Town Hall Tavern. So yeah, that's my plug done.
That's good. No, we like that. And your own website's a work in progress. So once that's up and running, have you bought a URL yet?
I've had the discussions today. It's very exciting. I don't have the URL yet, but as soon as I do, I'm going to get back onto you, and then I'm going to plug it to everybody in Wolverhampton.
We can tweet and everything. Because even though you're working up there, but you're still travelling around, and we've spoken to, obviously, a few comedians over the years, and Susan Murray, who works the circuit, and Phil Butler being the two main ones that we like to have a chat with. And, I mean, they are up and down the country all over the place, but they're both based in the London neck of the woods. But it must be interesting trying to travel to some of the more northerly gigs and heading around the Midlands from your point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice, because one of the good things about being a comedian, if you can be, is it's nice to be an outsider, because then a lot of your jokes come a lot more naturally, because you look at things in a different way. So when I'm playing a lot of northern towns, I probably notice things that a northerner might not do, or I'd like to think anyway. So it can be quite fun, and I enjoy the travel, because comedians generally are very interesting people, and they got into comedy for lots of different reasons. So they make good company on long car journeys, you know.
Oh, what is your USP as well? Because you're from a nice family, from a nice bit of Wolverhampton, so you know.
Not rude, are you?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Pretty much, but politely.
I don't know. I suppose there's a lot of very sort of nasty comedy out there. I tend to be quite friendly. Although as I'm getting older, I'm getting grumpier. So I don't know if the edge is coming off that. I was at a gig in Liverpool not long ago, and there was a comedian called Adam Staunton. If anybody ever gets a chance to see him, he's tremendous. And he said to me that my problem was that I was too normal to do comedy, because he's you know, he won't mind me saying, he's about 5 foot tall, and he says he plays off that quite a lot. And there are other comedians who play off their idiosyncrasies, and that, to all accounts and purposes, I seem a little bit too normal to be a comedian. I wasn't sure whether that was the nicest compliment I'd ever been given, or some sort of dreadful insult. I wasn't sure.
So your sort of comedy then, would you say that a family could come and watch you?
Or do you swear a lot like normal comedians?
I do a bit of effing and jeffing, to be fair. I am a bit blue. I'm a little bit blue. And
your mum and dad wouldn't be impressed.
Well, no, thank God they've only seen me a couple of times. they saw me in... where was it when I first started? I was out in... Oh, bloody hell. The place that Hitler would have made his base if he'd won the war, what was it called? Out in Shropshire. Oh, God, this is going to make sense.
I'm not aware of that one. All I know in Shropshire is RAF Cosford, but I don't think they put that up in honour of him.
Well, to be fair, that would have been quite useful for him, you know. where was it now? Not far from Richmond Lock. I did a gig there, and my mum saw me there. That was one of my first few gigs, and I think I swore every other word just because of a combination of nerves and the fact that I was allowed to swear in front of my mum.
I don't know whether you might tone it down a bit if you knew your family was in the audience.
I think it was just suddenly something in my brain went, your mum's here, but you're allowed to swear because you're on stage, you've got a microphone. But the other time she's seen me, she's come up to Stockport, and I've toned it down since then. I'm much more sort of, I can actually rely on jokes rather than just saying rude words for effect.
Yeah. It's nice to know you're enjoying it. 200 gigs and still counting. And you're actually in the Wolverhampton area come the 11th of August.
That's correct, yeah. I'm headlining a gig at The Style in Whitmarines, which I'm told is a lovely gig, full of character, which might be a metaphor for something, I don't know. But I'm going to be there. It's a gig run by a local comic called Paul Savage, who, again, I'd recommend anybody to go and see, but he's off in Edinburgh during August. So I'm bringing a car full of Manchester acts down, and we're going to hopefully make everyone laugh quite a lot. So.
That could be trouble, couldn't it? A car full of Manchester people going to Whitmarines, do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's a recipe for a fight, that, I tell you.
And you'll be starting it, knowing you. Anyway, I'm at a wedding reception that evening, so won't be able to join you for that one, but I will try and get up to one of your gigs in Stockport as long as I'm blag tickets. So,
here we go again.
That's the way it works. This is the, you know, Zoe, who is Rio, having a go at me here, was the one who said to me on the way into the studio today, you don't know when you're in blag six tickets for an event on the 30th
because I know you're so good at
no, because you just don't want to pay either. That's what it is. It sounds like it should be good fun, and you're getting comedians in from around the country for that one as well, I suppose, aren't you?
For the Stockport, yeah, we've got some professional headline acts from all over the country, you know, people who've been on TV and what have you. We had Scottish Comedian of the Year, Ro Campbell, on the other day, who is just awesome, you know, world-class performers. So, well, quite nice, because we run a really friendly gig that people like to come to, and I think because of that, acts are starting to take notice and go, actually, this is a really nice venue to come and perform at. So, we're getting a good reputation.
Well, give us the web address for the Stockport gig and also your Twitter feed so people can find out what you're up to.
Okay, the web address for the Stockport gig is www.alaughinstockport.co.uk.
Come and spell that out for us.
alaughinstockport.co.uk.
So the English teacher coming out even doing the .co.uk at the end as well. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And your Twitter, Doodah.
And my Twitter, I am Rich J Wall on Twitter, or at Rich J Wall, I suppose it would be.
It would, yes. And you can be found there saying some moderately amusing things, or just, you know, slagging off Stockport, possibly even. But no, you love the place, don't you?
Absolutely, it's my second home behind Wolverhampton, which will always be my spiritual home. I miss it. So hello Wolverhampton.
We're sending you Wolverhampton-y vibes even as we speak now. Thank you for joining us, and that's how we'll try and get to a gig at some point. I do like to go and see comedy, particularly if I don't have to pay. So I will try and catch up with you soon, sir.
All right, cheers very much, Jason.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Cheers, Rich. Now, that brings us to the end of our podcast, so you can do the plug. Do a plug, because you've seen as much of this as I have.
Oh, how exciting it is. We've been nominated for an international award, is it, Jason?
there's something called the European Podcast Awards, and you're allowed to nominate yourself.
Oh,
so,
no, you've spoiled it.
No,
then.
I'm going to be honest. So I did. We are nominated by me for an award, and I tried to put us in the charity and general information category, but they listened to the podcast and said we had a personality, so we had to go in that section.
Is that good?
Well, I think they're more on about me than you, to be fair. Oh. You just got your route showing. But so that's there. Yeah, just search for the European Podcast Awards. You can apparently vote for us, although voting means absolutely nothing because it's judges who decide who gets to win.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
So even if nobody votes, votes for us. Well, as long as the judges like
it's
us,
likely
right.
that it's likely the ones with the top 20 votes are going to be most noticed by the judges, is what it says. But
so
there's
get
a
voting
there's a
now.
Disclaimer in there. But yeah, vote if you want to. Just
put it up on your Facebook. Jason.
Oh, I'll tweet
put
it or something.
Up, yes.
Yeah, at JasonForest72 is my Twitter feed. So I shall put a link on there. Or...
Everybody has to vote. How funny would that be?
Yeah, it's completely pointless, but it's a bit of a laugh. So vote or something. But it's free. It costs you nothing, and you just get spam for the rest of your life on your email address.
Don't
so,
tell them that.
That's the way it always works. But you might win something by Olympus, who I think are the sponsors.
Which what, if you vote? Or if
yeah,
you...
if you vote, and we could win something
oh, okay,
by them as
that'd
well.
Because see, it's worth people voting then.
It's yeah. No, it's not. It'll amuse us, which is more than enough. Thank you for joining us. Back for episode 111 next week. And fingers crossed, it'll be live music in the studio. That's the plan. So we'll catch you then. Ta-ra for now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.